Joseph.
What's going on? What's happening? What are you telling me?
I would like to extend to you an invitation to the pants party.
It's time for the Pop Culture Connoisseurs, a gal and a gay podcast with Kitty.
One time she punched me in the face. It was awesome.
And Mick.
He's the gay of my dreams.
And they have this book, this burn book, where they write mean things about all the girls in our grade.
What does it say about me?
You're not in it.
Those bitches.
All right, welcome to episode 159 of Pop Culture Connoisseurs, a Gal and a Gay. I am Mick.
And I'm Kitty. Thank you for joining us.
So we are only hours away from the end of 2018.
Yep.
And it was overall a pretty good year for entertainment, pop culture, including TV, movies, and Netflix has released quite a few of its original content. But it wasn't just Netflix. There was a lot of other streaming platforms that uploaded their own content, and it's kind of overwhelming how many shows and movies there are.
It's hard. I mean, because you get, like, there's just so much out there. And you know, you'll have friends or somebody tell you, like, you got to check this out. And it's just, it's hard to get to it all. So
it is. And I love lists, as everyone else.
Yes.
I love lists. And so we have come up with our list of the best movies and TV shows that we watched this year. And initially we were like, oh, top five. We'll do top five.
Right.
Well, that almost instantly turned into top 10 when I actually started making my list.
So right. And whittling it down to just 10 shows was really hard for me. movies that I didn't really see a lot of movies, I guess, current releases this year. So it was a little tougher for me to come up with a list, but of movies, but.
Well, and I was kind of in the same boat. I thought, oh, movies will be easy. I see movies almost every week, every other week. And it's like, really weren't that many that I thought really stood out.
Right.
But I did come up with a list of 10. And it's funny, once you start naming the list, all I could think of was like movies I saw in the past month. I'm like, oh, and then I go back and start looking at the movies that I did see this year. And I was like, oh my God, Black Panther was this year. Like it feels like years.
Really does. You forget that this came out just, when in February it came out. So
So it has been a long time. Yeah. But I do find myself, you know, going, I feel like I mean, obviously TV, Netflix, all that stuff, Hulu, Amazon Prime, all that stuff it's obviously more accessible. So it's easier for us to, you know, you're not going to the movies all the time or whatever.
Right. So. Exactly. So, all right. So do you want to begin talking about our lists?
Yeah.
What do you want to start with?
So I'll start with one of my favorite TV shows as I murder a cat right now.
My cat is being really surprisingly unannoying right now. So
mine wants in the office, out of the office, and then
usually she's in or out, in and out, but
I'm just waiting for the dog to break through now. So
he will.
So one of the first shows, and it's one we've talked about several times on the podcast, The Handmaid's Tale.
Yep.
That is definitely one of my top 10 for the year. Now, The Handmaid's Tale didn't come out this year, but its second season did. And I thought they did a really good job with the second season because they kind of ran out of material after season one because it was based on Margaret Atwood's book, The Handmaid's Tale. So they did work with her to kind of develop season two. And I think where we left off in season two, I'm very excited to see where they're going in season three because you really don't know where they're going.
Yeah, and the season finale for this season two was a little controversial. I think a lot of people either loved it or hated it. I know several people are like, I'm going to stop watching the show because of this, which is, you know, a little dramatic, but I really liked it. I thought it was a smart choice, and it is definitely a choice that June would make. So I'm not going to spoil it if you haven't watched it, but I think it fit with the character, and I think it's going to lead to some interesting stories in season three. So it's a consistently just great show, well acted, well written, and it's just, it's amazing to watch it. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, and it's funny because they have to stay in Gilead for this series to make any sense. You're right. Not going to be able to, and here's the thing. So we do get to see outside of Gilead with the other characters, her mm-hmm. husband, and then her friend Moira. You do get to see outside of it. So I like where they're going with that, because you get to see both inside and outside. So even though June's inside, you get to see what else is going on outside of Gilead and how those forces are trying to find a way to free the handmaids and the people who are stuck.
Right. Exactly.
So Handmaid's Tale, highly recommend.
It is also on my top 10 list for 2018. So.
Yes. Okay. What else? What do you have on TV?
Well, my number one show, I would have to say, it was Haunting of Hill House on Netflix. It came out in October, and I binged it immediately. You know, I have a lot of great shows on this list, but this one was really, I think, my favorite just because of how compelling it was. It's not just a ghost story. It is a spooky show. It has some great jump scares, but it's mostly a family drama, and I really liked the story and the characters and the ensemble cast. I thought they worked really well together, and it was just a really compelling story. It keeps you, and there's some great twists and surprising twists. And anyway, I really loved it. And I'm excited to see what they're going to do with season two, if they're going to continue with the Crane family or if they're going to do something else. So the creators are not quite sure yet how season two is going to go, but there will be a season two. So,
okay. So I have started this. I'm only on episode 3, mm-hmm. and it already makes me nervous. Uh-huh. So I'm going to wait until after the new year to start it, uh-huh. or to pick it back up. But I will say, I mean, I love the actors in it. Mm-hmm. Carla Gugino is, yep. obviously fantastic. Henry Thomas.
I know.
From E.T.
Also a San Antonio native, in case you didn't know that.
Oh, yes. Kitty is in Austin, or is in Texas. So we've got to get that Texas connection thrown in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, some great actors. I don't know how to spell
Michael Huseman, who is on Game of Thrones.
Yes.
And he's been in several other things, but most notably Game of Thrones.
Yeah. And also Elizabeth Reeser.
Yeah, she's great. And the woman who plays Theo, I don't remember her name off of hand, but she's really great. And she is married to the director of the film, or the show, so the creator.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, it's a great cast, stellar cast, really great. Again,
I knew that Haunting of Hill House would probably be on my top 10, but again, I haven't finished it, so I didn't want to throw it up there without making sure that the whole season was up to par, even though I've heard great things. So
absolutely. Yep. Yeah, it's great. So so what is your number two pick?
Okay, so I kind of put these in order. So my number two is The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. I started out loving Riverdale. Uh-huh. I fell off. I'm like, I don't mm-hmm. know. And then Sabrina came out this year, watched it. And I don't really remember watching the original, which is not anywhere near the comedy that was on ABC back in the 90s. But this one I thought is so well done. It's dark. It's a comedy, but it's also a drama, a thriller, sci-fi mm-hmm. thrown in there. And it's based on the Archie comics, which blows my mind that this started decades ago in a comic.
Right. Right.
So
this show is, It's based on a comic that is based off the Archie comics, if that makes sense. So, the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina is a graphic novel. And so that's what this series is based on. But it's still pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, I really love it. I love how campy it is. I think it's better than Riverdale, although it definitely has, you can tell, it has the same feel as Riverdale. It's just less ridiculous, I guess.
Which Riverdale's
got to be a little too much, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I kind of hope that they keep these two separate for as long as they can. There will be a crossover.
Oh, absolutely. For sure.
But with Sabrina, they have renewed it for season 3 and 4.
Yes.
And I believe that they shot 1 and 2 basically back to back.
Yeah, I think
it was already picked up for season 2 before it even came out.
Right.
And
it airs in April 2019, so soon.
And I will say that one of the standouts, besides Kiernan Shipka, who plays Sabrina,
right,
her aunts are obviously fantastic. Miranda Otto and Lucy Davis,
good.
The chemistry between the cast is incredible.
Incredible, agreed.
But the standout, I think, is with Michelle Gomez's character.
She is so good. Yes. Yes. Agreed. She's so good.
She just eats up the scenery. Right. It is so much fun to watch.
Yes.
And also Sabrina's friends, I think, also are sort of standouts. And I really like that, obviously, the title is Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, but her friends actually have something to do as well that doesn't involve Sabrina necessarily.
Right. Exactly.
And it's not, I mean, it's like that throughout the season. And her friends, Jazz Sinclair, who plays Rosalind. And then who is the other one?
I really enjoy her cousin Ambrose too, as well.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Really great.
And was there an Ambrose in the original show?
I don't think so. I don't remember.
But again, like you mentioned, this is based off a graphic novel. So, right. I highly recommend it. I didn't think I would enjoy it as much as I did. And it was one of those shows where I'm like, oh, I want to watch the next episode right away.
It's just enjoyable. It's fun. Although some of the choices that Sabrina makes infuriate me, much like most of the teenagers on Riverdale. But, I mean, that's just, she's a teenager, a rebellious teenager. Mm-hmm. She doesn't want to listen to anybody. It's an enjoyable show. So highly recommended. Yeah, definitely.
Okay, next on your list.
Next on my list, it was Haunting of Hill House, Handmaid's Tale, my number 2 pick. My number 3 pick is Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Which is coming back.
Coming back. And so it's moving to NBC. So Fox canceled it at the end of this past season, and then NBC picked it up. And so it'll start in January sometime. I just think in a couple weeks. But it is truly one of the funniest shows on TV. I'm really glad that NBC picked it up and saved it, because the cast is amazing. The writing's amazing. It is just a great, funny show with a great cast. So if you haven't watched it, watch it. It is just great. So it's definitely
I've watched a few episodes here and there, and it is. It's funny. And Andy Samberg is great, but it's the entire ensemble.
Andre Brower is really funny. Terry Crews, all of them. They just all worked so well together. And I really like ensemble comedies like that, because it really, when the characters all work together and the writing's really good, it makes a perfect show. Just like Parks and Rec, just like The Office, it's really great. So highly recommended.
And that kind of transitions very well into my number 3.
Uh-huh.
Shows, and that is The Good Place.
The Good Place, yes. That is my number 4 pick, so it's up there. I would say Brooklyn Nine-Nine and The Good Place are tied for me. Another smart, well-written, great ensemble cast show, and it's so different than any other sitcoms you see on TV at the moment, and it's perfection, honestly. So,
and I also like about The Good Place is that it is, you each episode does stand on its own, but you have to continue. You have to have watched the other episodes,
right?
For any of it to make sense with where the show is going, because the show, there are so many twists and turns in The Good Place. I mean, we've talked several times about there are times when they have an episode that completely turns the show upside down, and you're like, where the heck are they going to go with this now? Like, how are they going to get out of this? And it's just kind of fun to watch the directions that it goes and what the characters are going to do next. It's unpredictable. And that's also what I really love about it, because it's just a smart comedy.
Yes, absolutely. So it's just, it's so good. And it's from the creator of Parks and Rec, which is one of my all time favorite shows. So I was more inclined to watch it. And I'm really glad that I do, because it is just, it's a lot of that same humor. And again, just a great cast. So if you haven't watched it, highly recommend it. It's one of the best, one of the funniest shows out there right now too. So definitely watch it.
All right, next on your list.
So another great show that we're both have on our list is Queer Eye. This is another one that sort of took Netflix by storm, and it is sort of its own little phenomenon. It is a piece of just wholesome, good-natured, you know, heartwarming, I don't know. It's just what we need in the world today, I think. And it's just so, it makes you so happy watching it, and you love every one of the guys, and you love every one of the people that they help, and it's just a joy to watch. It is a true joy. So,
and our connection too is that they filmed season 3 and 4 in Kansas City, Missouri.
Yep.
In the area, anyway. And one of my friends, he was actually one of the videographers for both seasons. So he has filled me in on some fun things that we're going to see in season 3 and 4. And actually, a guy I know is actually going to be in season 4. He was made over by the guys.
Oh, great. So that's fun. So I'm excited, because that should be, I'm sure, well, so they wrap production, what, in November? So I bet sometime soon we'll get season 3.
Yeah. I have a feeling it'll be spring, late spring.
Yep.
Probably April or May. But yeah, so that'll be fun. And I know that my friend was like, they shot a new intro.
Oh, okay.
So very similar to the last one, but a little different. And so they are changing up the format just a little bit as well. So they don't want it to seem like it's stale. So they want to mix it up here and there.
That's a good idea.
Good
idea. So what is your next pick?
Okay, my next pick is this latest season of American Horror Story, Apocalypse.
This is also on my list.
Oh my gosh. So good. So I gave up on American Horror Story
for
a couple of seasons.
Yep.
And this season finally got me back. And I want more of it. I want more of the season with the witches and warlocks.
Absolutely. I think they have to, because I think they finally found the formula that really makes this show what we all want it to be is, you know, because the first couple seasons were really, especially the first season, was a lot of fun, campy, weird, you know, fun to watch. Season 2, Asylum, was okay, had its problems. But then, you know, and then Freak Show. But then, you know, there was Coven in the mix of all that. That was great. And those characters are just so good. And then, you know, and then they had several seasons that were not up to par, I guess you could say. Just not my cup of tea. Yeah, yep. And there were a couple seasons I did not watch at all. So when they brought back all the witches, you know, so many characters from other seasons, tying it all together, it was just a lot of fun. And those warlocks were amazing, and I hope we get to see more of them.
Yep.
Really.
Absolutely. And Cody Fearn, I have a feeling. So this was his first season on American Horror Story. He played Michael Langdon, the Antichrist.
Yep.
We actually met Michael when he was a baby back in season 1, and Cody is super talented, and he fit right in with the rest of the cast. And to be able to kind of hold his own, and he had such great chemistry with Sarah Paulson and some of the other members of this basically troupe. I guess you can call them a troupe because Ryan Murphy used these actors in different roles throughout the franchise. So I have a feeling that Cody will be back. And Ryan Murphy has said that the witches will also be back, just probably not this next season.
Yeah, probably. And Cody Fearn, he's really, I think his star is on the rise. He was in the last season of House Cards too in a small part. So he's definitely he's getting his face out there. So yeah, I really enjoyed him. So it'll be great to see him in other stuff. But Jessica Lange.
I'm so glad she was back.
Me too.
All right, what's next on your list?
Next on my list is another Ryan Murphy show, actually, is 911. So I didn't typically watch a lot of network TV. There are a few network shows on here, but there's a lot of shows that I just never really got around to watching. And so when I moved back to Texas, I'm living with my dad temporarily. He watches a lot of network TV. And so he got me to start watching 911, and I love it. It's really good. The characters are great. Like, it's such a... like such a normal show, I guess, for lack of a better normal show for to be having been done by Ryan Murphy, but the characters are great and the stories are great. And I mean, it's really enjoyable. Highly recommend it.
And of course, one of our favorites, Connie Britton, starred in season one.
She was on season one. Season two has Peter Krause and Angela Bassett and Jennifer Love Hewitt and a lot of other really great actors. But it's good. Every episode is good. So I recommend it.
So Jennifer Love Hewitt does the series justice?
Yeah, I think so. She's very, you know, Jennifer Love Hewitt's kind of weird and she had a bad reputation for a long time, but she's not a terrible actress. And she plays a very just kind of straight laced woman who's going through some hard stuff on the show. And so she does a good job. It's nice to see her back in the spotlight a little bit, I guess.
Yeah. Excellent. Okay, so next on my list is Glow. And I know Glow is also on your list.
Yep,
so it is. We found Glow in season one. And this is another Netflix original. Mm-hmm. And again, another one of those shows, which, you know, it's a drama, but it's also a comedy. And the cast, it comes down to the cast being the key. And these women are incredible. And there are some of these characters and some of these actresses that you've never heard from before. Mm-hmm. And that's what I also liked about it, which you have a couple with some name recognition, like Alison Brie, Betty Gilpin, Marc Maron. Mm-hmm. But some of these others are fairly newcomers. And I think that's also why it works, because they really focused on making sure that the cast kind of gelled and they fit these parts for them. And it is just fun to watch.
It's very fun. It's funny. And I just love the characters. Like you said, I can't agree much more. I mean, it's just a great show, great characters all around. It's just a great cast, really enjoyable. So
yeah. And I think season two is actually better than season one.
I would agree. Season two was really, really great. So I cannot wait for season three. So,
but it's also one of those shows where I'm really scared about, oh my gosh, we only have a season or two seasons left, because the glamorous ladies of wrestling was a thing back in the 80s. And now it's like, I know that we're getting closer and closer to the end of when it all, because it didn't last.
No, it didn't. And there is a documentary on Netflix about the Glow, the actual Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling. And it's really good. If you're interested, if you like the show, watch that, because it gives a whole new perspective. And you see the inspiration for some of the characters in the show. It's really fun. So I recommend watching that documentary if you get a chance, too. It's really cool. Next on my list is another network show, The Rookie. It's on ABC. It stars Nathan Fillion. And he plays like a 40-year-old guy who just decides to become a cop in LAPD. It's very good. I mean, it's a very, you know, it's a little different than most things you see out there. But Nathan Fillion is so damn likable, and he's so funny. He just makes the show a joy to watch. So I recommend it. I mean, it's one of those must-watch TVs kind of shows for me and my dad. So I really enjoy it.
Wow, you and the network shows.
I know. It helps when you have DVR and you can record it. So Instead of going to an app and that sort of thing, but yeah.
Well, we saw Nathan Fillion at Comic-Con back in, 2015? And he's just as funny in person.
I truly love him. And he's also my honorable mention. I had to add one more in there because it wasn't on my top. It's in my top 11, I guess you could say. But Santa Clarita Diet on Netflix is another really funny show. Nathan Fillion's in that. So is Timothy Oliphant, Drew Barrymore. It's a lot of fun. It's just kind of it's a really goofy zombie show. And I recommend that one too. So that is on my list. We've covered most everything on my list. So.
All right. So I have a couple more. So okay. There's one that we've talked about before called mm-hmm. Bodyguard, and it stars Richard Madden, who you might remember, who was on Game of Thrones.
Robb Stark. Yes.
Robb Stark. And this show is very intense. It's only 6 episodes.
Very intense.
So you finished it?
I've seen it. Yes. I watched it.
Oh my gosh. That from that first episode to some of the final episodes, it's
very good. It was, you have no idea what's happening most of the time.
No idea.
Yes.
No idea.
It was very good. Agreed. It was very good.
It keeps you on the edge of your seat. Not kidding. Like that first episode is so nerve wracking mm-hmm. and it's also one of the shows you think you have figured out and then
you don't. Right.
Then there's like this character who you're like, oh, she's the star of the show or star. And it's like, mm-hmm. no, she's not. Like it is so good. And I just have no idea how they can make a season 2.
I don't either. I really don't. I figured it was going to be just a standalone limited series, but mm-hmm. we'll see.
Yeah, it started as a BBC One mm-hmm. Series, but there's a twist in one of those final 2 episodes.
Yeah.
Is insane. Yes. Insane.
Richard Madden is really great, and I love his Scottish accent, so it's all good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he is so...
It's very dreamy.
Hot.
Yes. So hot. Very.
Okay, also on my list is the new Netflix original reboot, kind of She-Ra, Princess of Power. So I grew up in the 80s, and uh-huh. so He-Man and She-Ra were definitely part of my childhood. And I was very, very, very skeptical of this series because they've tried to reboot He-Man before. They've tried Thundercats, which is my absolute all-time favorite, but I don't want to get sidetracked. She-Ra was also a great companion series to He-Man. Well, now it appears that they are... And they're doing a great job with rebooting She-Ra, that He-Man might eventually be a companion series to this series.
Oh.
So they are keeping him out of this. And I read an article where the creator said that they are going to try and keep him away as long as possible. Because they've changed a few things and it's fun. It's a fun update. And they have made some really good better decisions than I think back in the 80s. Because it was like Secret Identity, mm-hmm. Aurora is She-Ra, but only a few people know. And it's the same with how they handled He-Man. It's kind of like the Clark Kent versus Superman. Oh, put glasses on him and no one can tell who he is. This takes it to a different level because everyone knows that Adora is the She-Ra person. When she has a sword and she's actually bigger. So she becomes bigger and taller and she doesn't look exactly the same, but they do a really good job of explaining why that doesn't matter. And there's still this mystery of why the sword is kind of like a King Arthur thing, Excalibur, why this sword, you know, they're leaving it a mystery right now of why the sword works only when it's in her possession. So, it's really good. It's smart and it's fun. And I really, and the characters are great.
It looks cute. You know, when it came out, I read some articles about it. And there were a lot of people complaining, obviously, because that's what fanboys do. But,
oh yeah.
You know, I don't know. It looked cute. I liked the style that they did it. And it looks much more like a kid's show, I guess you could say, just the mm-hmm. animation compared to the 80s version. But
yeah,
it's cute.
Well, and you know, when you're trying to redo something, you need it to feel like the original, but not a complete knockoff.
Right, exactly.
So, okay, also on my list, this should probably have been a little bit higher on my list, but I forgot at the last minute. And so I was looking through some of the shows that I had reviewed, and Pose is so enjoyable. This is also back to the 80s, so you're sensing.
Oh, okay.
So it's set in 1987, and it takes a look at society and life for some drag queens in New York.
Oh, okay.
And I think this, from what I remember, this is also a Ryan Murphy series. And this is the TV show that has had the most drag queens or transsexuals.
Okay.
And the story is smart, and it just kind of gives you this, you know, you obviously we've seen a lot of TV shows, movies set in the 80s, gay, this and that, but there's never, the focus has always been, there's never really been on drag queens. Mm-hmm. And this is what this is about and their stories. And they're, each of the main actors, they are so fantastic and really, really good. From MJ Rodriguez, Evan Peters is in it. That's a Ryan Murphy. Mm-hmm. He's a go-to for Ryan Murphy. And Dominique Jackson as Elektra is, she's electric. Like she comes on the screen and you can't take your eyes off of her. She is magnificent. Her presence is so good. And Billy Porter, you might remember Billy Porter. He played one of the warlocks. And he's the one that he played the warlock. I can't remember his name, but he and Madison went to the murder house.
Mm, mm-hmm.
So he is in Pose. And
I loved him.
Oh, my gosh. He's so good in this. So, yeah, I highly recommend it. There were 8 episodes. It was on FX, and you can watch it on Hulu, I believe.
Well, I'm going to look for that because I honestly haven't really heard of that one. So,
yeah. Our friend Eric he binged it
in a couple
days because it was so good.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It goes back to the characters and the story, just sharp.
I think anything that has really good characters and a really good story is always going to be successful, I think. Yeah. So,
and I'm really hooked right now on something that's a little bit lighter, but yet it can still be dark, but not too apocalyptic. I can't do it.
Right.
Okay, last on my list, real quick, Dear White People. We've talked about this one a couple times. I don't think you've watched it yet.
I haven't watched it yet, no.
So it's in season 2. I think season 3 is coming out this next year in 2019. And it is also one of those shows that really makes you think. And the characters make unexpected decisions. And so you don't really know where it's going. And there's a lot of character development in it that makes it so enjoyable. And it's you just want to spend time with these characters. So that's another one. And it makes you think. Obviously, it's kind of a mirror to society.
Right. Exactly.
But it's very smart. And I love the I'm looking up her, typing this in wrong. I'm looking up her name right now. Logan Browning, who plays Samantha White, is a star. She is going places. All of them. And each episode takes a look at a certain situation from a different character's perspective. Mm-hmm. And so there's something big that happens, and then the following episode takes a look at it from someone else's perspective. So you get to see how they saw it, how it affected them, things like that. That was season 1. And season 2 was even better. So that's my list.
Great. Well, there you go. Some great TV. I'm sure there are lots of other great shows out there too that neither by you or I have gotten to watch yet, just because there is so much TV.
Yeah.
So
it's a good start.
But it's a good start. Yes.
Good list. All right, let's go with some of your movies.
All right. Well, these movies are in no particular order. I just have a list. But that being said, my number one pick absolutely is Love, Simon. I think it was one of the best movies of the year.
Yes.
It was cute. The cast was great. It's a good story. It's just heartwarming. And you know, it's just like a John Hughes film or something. It's just one of those movies that makes you feel good. So really enjoyed it. I've watched it several times since it came out, and I loved it. So it's definitely my number one of 2018.
I think it's going to be a classic.
I think so. A
couple times as well. I just remember seeing in the theater, and I was like, oh, I wish I had seen this when I was a teenager.
Exactly. It's so important to have a movie like this out. So it's really great. You know, and it's a good family film too. Like me and my sister and my niece, who's 14, we all watched it together and we love it. And it's a nice film, just a good film overall. Yep. So
that was the top of my list too.
And then, I'm just going to name a few, like, then I'm going to go Black Panther and Avengers Infinity War, both fantastic. I have a lot of superhero movies on here now that I look at it, but, and I believe those are both on your top 10, correct, too?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they're good. Black Panther was amazing. Avengers was amazing. It's, you know, it's something really satisfying to see the culmination of like 10 years of movies, you know? And then getting to see part two in April, which I think is probably going to be the biggest movie of the year. I honestly think so. So, it's exciting. I enjoyed it.
Yep. And both are available right now on Netflix. Infinity War, I think, came out on Christmas.
It did.
You can watch it. So, yeah, both of those are on mine, as well as Bumblebee.
Bumblebee,
Thought just a couple of weeks ago, it is, I believe, going to be a little bit of a soft reboot of the Transformers franchise. I think if it performs as well as they hoped it performed. And this was a very full movie docket, I guess you could say, around Christmas, because you didn't have Star Wars this year. So because Star Wars takes up every bit.
Right.
Box office dollar around the holidays. So this year they had several movies, really good movies. You had Mary Poppins, you had Aquaman, you had Bumblebee, and you had a couple other, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. So there were a lot of different options that you could choose. Next holiday season, you will not have that many options.
Nope.
Star Wars.
So, right. Exactly.
But I highly recommend Bumblebee, and Hailee Steinfeld did an incredible job, and they really scaled back on the movie a little bit because it just got to be a little too much with too much action, and there's still plenty of action. It's just you can actually tell what they're doing instead of like just two robots going.
Right. I understand that for sure. Mm-hmm. So another pick that I have is Ready Player One. Now, I didn't actually watch this till about a couple weeks ago. I'd never seen it. And I watched it when it was on HBO. And it was fantastic. It was so much better than I expected it to be. And I know this movie had a lot of hype when it came out, and a lot of people were excited. I just didn't get to see it. But it is classic Spielberg, I feel like. It's classic Spielberg, just with a completely, like, you know, sort of futuristic, updated presence with it. And it was enjoyable. So enjoyable. And the multiple pop culture references in it too were a lot of fun to figure out. So I loved it. I really did love Ready Player One. It was very good.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Also on my list, The Quiet Place. What was it? It was earlier this year. John, he's married to Emily
Blunt.
Krasinski. There we go. again, smart. And smart. It was one of those movies where I missed the screening, and then it was kind of off my radar, and then everyone just kept talking about it. I'm like, okay, this is one of those movies that I need to see in the theater, and I'm so glad I did. Mm-hmm. And I'm not a huge fan of horror, and it's not horror, it's more of a thriller. Just smart, and I'm excited to see what they're going to do with the sequel.
Me too. A Quiet Place is also on my list. It's so different than all other horror slash alien films you see out there. Yeah. It was very smart, very just exciting, thrilling. So it was very, very good. I mean, and I like the way it ended too. So it will be interesting to see what they do with the sequel. But yeah, really a really great movie. Just a great, like, inventive film. So yep. Good on you, John Krasinski.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love the story. I've read a couple times about how Emily Blunt initially didn't think she wanted a role in the movie until she read the script, and then she was trying to figure out how to get the role, because he initially offered it to her and she's like, no, I don't want to work with you. You know, it's like husband and wife and right. this and that. And then she was like, oh my God, I read the script and I knew I had to play that character. And so then she was trying to figure out how to walk it back.
I love John Krasinski and Emily Blunt. Love them. They're amazing, both of them. So another on my list is Deadpool 2. Deadpool 1 was amazing. Deadpool 2 was almost better. It was so good.
I agree.
So many great jokes. Those Deadpool films are just a joy to watch. And Ryan Reynolds and just very, very funny. So definitely.
Yep. Deadpool 2. And he is the reason that they're so great to watch.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree. I thought it was better than the first one. So. Yep.
So. Very good.
Okay. Let's see. So mine real quick, Quiet Place, Black Panther, eighth grade. I thought eighth grade was
really eighth grade was very cute.
Good.
Yeah. Very good. Yeah.
Uncomfortable, but good.
Well, they've captured what it's like to be a eighth grade girl for sure. The actress in it was very, very good. So mm-hmm. they definitely captured the awkwardness of that age. Yeah, it was good. I agree. Nice little film.
Yep. A Star Is Born is also on my list. Oh, right. I didn't mention Bohemian Rhapsody, and they both kind of came out at the same time.
Yep.
Another one that I enjoyed so much, and I didn't know too much about the story of Queen. Obviously, I love the song and some of their other music, but this was so – I like that all the band members, they – had such a great chemistry together. That was the one thing I thought that was missing from A Star Is Born, is that they focus so much on Lady Gaga and mm-hmm. Bradley Cooper. That's like, where is the band in all this? Like they should have been in the mix a little bit more.
Yeah, I getcha.
But Bohemian Rhapsody, that's what, I mean, Queen, it was about them. So I appreciate that. And I looked for Mike Myers in that movie and I couldn't find him until after the credits ran. I'm like, oh my God, that record label guy was Mike Myers. I didn't recognize him at all.
Oh, I didn't know he was in it. So that's cool. Yeah, I haven't seen it yet. So again, I haven't seen every film that came out in 2018. So can't say this is a definite list of the best movies, but these are the ones I've seen and I liked the most. So, yeah.
Well, you've still seen quite a bit. So
yeah, I'd like to see, I want to see A Star Is Born and Bohemian Rhapsody, but probably not until it comes out on video.
Yeah.
Okay. Another one on my list was on Netflix. This was another one, To All the Boys I Loved Before. It's very cute. It's in the vein of Love, Simon. It's a teenage, mm-hmm. Sort of rom-com. It's just very cute and it was enjoyable. You know, it's just sometimes you just want to watch cute.
Yeah, absolutely.
Films, and that's exactly what this is. So definitely it's a nice little teenage rom-com. I loved it. So
nice. Okay. Let me see. Okay. Also on my list, Annihilation.
Oh, yes.
The Natalie Portman movie that is, it really makes you think about what would happen if something unexpected happened on Earth, more like kind of like an alien something uh-huh. or another, and uh-huh. it was definitely a female powered movie.
I agree. That was really that's what I liked about. I did like that film. It's a little weird, but like yeah. in a good way. You know, it's supposed to be weird. And Natalie Portman was good, and Oscar Isaac is always great and everything.
Tessa Thompson's in it.
yeah, Tessa Thompson, Jennifer Jason Leigh, you know, just a lot of great people. So yeah, it was, yeah, great cast, interesting movie. So,
and Oscar Isaac.
Yeah, and I like sci-fi stuff. So if you're a fan of that sort of genre, I think you'll enjoy it. So
I agree.
So I have a lot of Netflix films on here now that I'm looking at this. I'm realizing it. But my next one is called The Ritual, which is a horror film, a Netflix original horror film. I believe it's from the UK, made in the UK. But it's just it was a really good horror film. It's about these four buddies and they go camping in the woods to celebrate a friend's death, or not celebrate the life of a friend who just died. And they run into some spooky stuff in the woods, and it was just really entertaining. I like horror films, so I know they're not for everybody, they're not everybody's cups of tea, but I like horror films, and this one was not so much a jump scare kind of plus or a super gory gory film, but it was enjoyable. So if you like horror films, I'd check that one out. It was pretty good.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And then the last one on mine is Game Night.
Yes, that's right. Game Night. I wrote Date Night. That's a different movie.
That is a different movie.
It's a different movie that came out like 5 years ago.
Right. Which I also enjoyed.
Yes. Game Night. Yes. Because I had that on my list too. Game Night was really good. Really funny. Great cast.
Oh my gosh. Jason, yes. Jason Bateman and Rachel McAdams.
Yes. Jesse Plemons steals the show in that movie though.
Jesse does. Plemons,
really funny. Really, so.
Yeah, he really, really does.
It's another fun movie if you get a chance. It's just nice to watch. It's funny. Mm-hmm. Enjoyable. And then the last on my list is another Netflix original movie. It's called The Guernsey Literary and Potato Peel Society. This is another one of those. It's not really a rom-com, but it's a bit of a wholesome romance movie, you know, it has a happy ending, and it's based on a book. It's about these people who live on Guernsey. It's an island off the UK, and during World War II, they made this literary society so they could, you know, hang out and avoid the Nazis. So anyway, it's just a really cute little movie. I recommend it. Michael Huseman, Lily Collins. That's not her name. The girl from, she played Cinderella in the remake.
But, oh, yeah, she was in Downton Abbey.
Yep. Lily.
She has two first names.
Lily Rose, Lily. Oh, God, I'm sorry.
Her name was Rose, though.
Lily James, that's her name. There we go. But it's cute. I recommend it if you like things with happy endings and nice romance. It's good.
Yeah. I just want to know how you found that movie.
It just came up on my Netflix one day. That's when it was released.
Netflix has too much stuff.
Well, you know, it's
hard for me to find things sometimes.
Yes, but I think based on my viewing history, it was like, hey, we think you're going to like this one.
Oh, so. Well, and you know, they changed the thumbnail image of each TV show or movie based on your other picks.
Yes, I did see that. Yes, I saw that article.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah,
that
it is crazy.
Crazy.
I know. But that's how I found it. I guess when it was released, it was at the it was at the top banner, like when it came out, you know, so like watch this new release. So
anyway. Yeah, that's crazy. Anyway, all right. Well, so did we
get all our list? Yep. I think you're right. Yep, I think we did.
We're all out of lists.
We're all out of lists. You're right.
Yeah. So excellent. Well, guys, that is our list.
We should quickly talk about just what's coming in 2019 that we're looking forward to.
Okay.
Several things. Yeah. I mean, April's going to be a big month because second Sabrina season of Sabrina hits. Mm-hmm. Game of Thrones comes back.
Oh my gosh.
Avengers comes out last week of April.
Yep.
Yeah, and then Captain Marvel comes out in March.
Oh.
It's going to be a big year, and then not to mention Star Wars. So,
yeah.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot to look forward to in 2019.
Yeah, I and we haven't, I mean, the Captain Marvel trailer looks fantastic.
It really does.
And we're still obviously waiting for Star Wars, and we will talk about Star Wars later. I'm not going to bog down this podcast with it, but it is going to be a big year for movies, and Endgame will.
Right.
I mean, again, we'll talk about that as it gets closer. But anyway, I know obviously some of those characters are coming back, including Spider-Man, who has his next movie coming out.
Right, exactly. I think that comes out in May. So, yeah, we're going to see Spider-Man again.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Anyway. All right. So let us know what you think of our list, if you have any that you would add to it as well, because we're always looking for other TV shows and movies to add to our watch list. And unfortunately, it's like a DVR. Mine just gets, it just keeps piling up.
I know.
Catch up.
It truly is. It is. It's just, you know, it's just hard to get to it all, but I love recommendations and I love trying to check things out. So please. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know what? I just didn't even think about. There was another great show that came to mind, and I just right now, The Great British Bake Off. I'm going to throw that out there.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Another wholesome, enjoyable show to watch. If you ever get a chance, binge it on Netflix. You won't regret it. But yeah.
And we've also posted our picks of 2018 on our website, agalandagaypodcast.com. Just go under our blogs.
Yes. Yeah. And you can follow us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, A Gal and a Gay. Yeah. Oh, also, God, I'm having all of these thoughts of these shows coming in my head right now as I'm talking, but Schitt's Creek is another one on Netflix. It's so good. So funny. Definitely recommend it if you like. Another one that's really smart and funny with a great cast. So, man, God, I suck at making lists.
Well, start with your list already for 2019.
I know. God, okay, that's it. I swear, I'll probably think of others later.
You can add it to the blog.
Yeah, you're right. So, yeah. Okay, well, that's it. Until next time, guys.
All right, see you.
Happy New Year.